Chris Brown will be on the call tonight for the Bills-Jaguars game on Monday Night Football. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. All right, Chris, we've got the 2-0 Bills and the 0-2 Jaguars. What do you think about this matchup?
It's a dangerous one. You're going to have a very desperate Jacksonville team coming in here because they certainly don't want to start their season 0-3. So you got to expect their best punch tonight, even though it looks like they're going to be a little shorthanded in their secondary. Starting safety Darnell Savage was downgraded to out over the weekend, and they're already without their top cornerback, Tyson Campbell, who went on injured reserve after week one with a bad hamstring injury. So will it be an aired-out night for Josh Allen? Perhaps.
We'll see on that front. But for the defense, you know, Josh Allen and a lot of people in within the Bills organization over the last week have had great things to say about the Jags' defense. You know, we're sitting here looking at an 0-2 team. Why should we take their defense so seriously?
Because their defensive front is super talented. And over the last two times they've played the Bills, they've been very stingy in giving up yards and points. And what you're looking at across their front, they have three first-round draft choices, including the number one pick in the draft 3 years ago in Trayvon Walker out of Georgia. So you've got Trayvon Walker, Josh Hines-Allen, also a first-round pick, and Arik Armstead, who plays inside, a former first-round pick of the 49ers, who signed with the Jaguars in free agency. So they are loaded up front. So it will be a task for the offensive line. So winning at the line of scrimmage is going to be critical for Buffalo's offense tonight.
Gabe Davis and Mitch Morris will be returning to Orchard Park tonight. How are they working out for the Jags?
Yeah, I mean, Davis has had just over 100 yards receiving through the first two games, so about 50 yards a game for him with Trevor Lawrence. I think he has about five or six catches on the season, and Mitch Morris has been dropped right into the starting center spot. So they're playing prominent roles for Jacksonville, but it's a little early to tell, you know, just how week in, week out productive Davis is going to be. This is a passing game that really hasn't hit its stride yet. Trevor Lawrence has come out of the gates slow, kind of picking up where he left off last year. I mean, this is a Jaguars team that lost six of their last seven last year, and now they've lost their first two this year. And Trevor Lawrence in starts himself, because the only game the Jaguars won was without him in the lineup last year. They beat hapless Carolina in week 17 last year. That's their only win in their last seven outings. So they're really just trying to find themselves and put together a winning performance.
It's something about Jacksonville, isn't it? Now, it's not like the Bills or Sean McDermott has never beaten the Jags before, but you go, you know, all the way back to McDermott's first season, that playoff game in Jacksonville, and, you know, it was close, but they got the best of us. And you had that game a couple years ago, you give the Jags their first win, everyone's expecting the Bills to roll them, and for whatever reason, you don't show up. You go to London last year, you know, in front of everybody, and the Jags just seem to have your number in these big spots. It would be nice, I would think, for the coaching staff, for a lot of these guys who have been around the Bills for the last five-plus years to get one up on the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, even Ed Oliver said this week, the games against the Jaguars have been weird. Just weird aura about them, weird things happen. I mean, if we remember last year, first of all, the Bills go into that game without Greg Rousseau and Christian Benford and Tre'Davious White, who all suffered injuries the week prior in the win over Miami. And then in the first three series, they lose Daquan Jones and Matt Milano. So, yeah, weird stuff has happened. But I will say most of that stuff went against the Jaguars has been weird away from Highmark Stadium. Each of the last three meetings with the Jags at Highmark Stadium have been victories for Buffalo. So hopefully home cooking is the cure tonight.
Chris, what's the status of Josh Allen's hand? Is he still wearing a glove?
Still wore the glove in practice this week, so we'll see how it looks, you know, tonight. I think last Thursday it was clear that he was not trying to initiate any contact that threatened that hand. He only really ran for yardage one time, and he slid early by most estimations in terms of how we usually see Josh run. So whether that was by design to protect the hand too, we don't know for sure. We're all just speculating. but I would expect him to wear the glove again tonight. And, you know, if push comes to shove and he has to go run, I don't know if he's going to be able to stiff arm people with his off hand, which is his left hand. So does that impact how much he runs or how soon he slides? That's something we're just going to have to observe over the next couple of games.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see. We saw James Cook be very involved last week. I mean, should we expect more of the same? Is this maybe the new norm for the Bills? Big games out of your running back. We saw it at the end of last year through two games this year. Is it just the new look Bills, or are they simply following the trend that the rest of the league seems to be doing?
Yeah, right. So you've got, I think it's a byproduct of how teams defend Josh Allen. You know, we all know that the cover two shell defense with two safeties deep has been the soup du jour for defense to stop these high-flying, strong-armed quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Josh. And so an offense has to come up with a way to counteract that. So where is the advantage when there are two safeties deep? It's in the run front where, you know, they only have seven, sometimes six defenders. So light boxes are favorable for your run game, and Joe Brady has taken advantage of that since he's taken over as offensive coordinator in Week 12 last year. The Bills have more rushing attempts per game than any other team in football, just over 35 per game. I would expect that to some degree to continue, but again, as I mentioned at the top, with the shorthanded nature of the secondary, there might be some opportunities to take some shot plays deep.
You know, Chris, Curtis Samuel was brought on as a Swiss Army knife for the offense, right? But he hasn't been really involved that much. Do you think he gets more involved with this game?
I think it's matchup related. So I think if Joe Brady sees some advantages at the second level of the defense that he can exploit with Curtis Samuel, I think they'll explore that. But I really think through 2 weeks, they're still trying to find where the matchup advantages lie in a given week with the, you know, talent that they have at wide receiver. I think that's still a feeling out process right now for this offense, even though Joe Brady has already spent time with Curtis Samuel when they were together in Carolina back in 2020. But yeah, I think if the matchup presents itself, they will utilize him. I just think people think because he's fast, he's going to be running deep down the field all the time. And I think for most of his career, he's done most of his best work in the short to intermediate area, eluding defenders for extra yards after short receptions.
Well, we're hoping for a good one tonight. It's a 7:30 kickoff, and Chris will be on the call on WGR. Chris, thanks so much. Chris Brown, voice of the Bills, on the call on WGR. Game is also on TV, ESPN, and Channel 4.